And so, in Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and just look at the times that you'll see God talk about understanding. If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. We have a lot of things that are serious problems right now. We need to understand them. And it begins, the proper understanding begins with an understanding, as complete as we can, familiarization of God's Word. We read God's Word, we study God's Word, we think about what it means. But if you'll notice in verse 5, it says when we start really digging into His Word and looking for the answers that He has for us, then we'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And once we understand the fear of the Lord, life just really, I believe, starts to get what God wants it to be. There is a fact about having problems that a lot of us don't like. I don't know if it's just a lazy nature or what, but whatever the problem is, I'm not particularly fond of gathering the facts. And yet, if you're going to solve a problem, you have to have all the facts. And if it's a serious problem, you better make sure that you're getting those facts in an unbiased way. We look at the things that are going on right now, and it seems like everybody has a bias about something. And they're willing to take this bias to their death. And they might do that. I don't know. But let me give you an example. Imagine that you live in a different place, because you have to live in a different place for this example. Let's say you live in a town along a river that's in a valley that above that valley is a hydroelectric dam. And that's pretty common in a lot of places that you will go to. And just imagine you've got property there, your family lives there, your home is there, and you're an engineer, and you've been called to go out and inspect this dam to see if it's sound or not, if it has the structural integrity that it needs. Well, think about the different things that might go into that as far as your competing interests. If this needs repair or replacement, since you're a property holder, it's going to cost you money because the taxes are what's going to pay for it. Not only you, but it's going to cost your friends money as well. It could be pretty significant when it comes to doing something like replacing a dam or even repairing it. And so it's serious from that point of view. But then you think about the fact you own property there. Not only will you be taxed on that property, but if that dam breaks, your property could be damaged. Even more seriously than that, your family could be at risk. They could lose their lives. The people, your friends, could lose their lives. And so you have these two things going into it. You have the fact that you don't want to spend money unnecessarily because you'll have to do it and your friends will have to do that. And so you want to be cautious in that. There's something else, too. If you go repairing a dam, and it doesn't need repair, you might affect the structural integrity of it to where all of a sudden now it is dangerous. So you got to be careful with that. But on the other hand, you have the lives of your loved ones, as well as you want your property to do well. And so what are you going to do if you're the structural engineer in this example? And the answer is you're going to get all the facts you can, and you're going to make the best decision that you can make. When it comes to our service to God, we don't need to have a bias as far as what our loved ones think or what some intelligent woman here or some intelligent man here thinks. We need to just be looking at God's Word from, I've got to find out what He wants me to know so that I can live my life right. It's a matter of life and death, is it not? your eternity will hinge on getting the information in the right way, as well as applying that information in the right way. And so when we talk about understanding, we really are talking about trying to get all the facts that you can that are pertinent to whatever you're looking at, and being able to apply them, to look at them in an unbiased way. I just want to find out the truth. Whatever the truth is, that's what I want to find, and then I want to do it. And that's what he's talking about here. It's going to take effort, just like you are searching for hidden treasure. But if you'll do that, you'll gain understanding, and especially this understanding of the fear of the Lord, which is so critical. Again, we live in a world right now that fear just seems to be one of the greatest tools that people are using. I know most of y'all know Rachel and Talon. They worship here from time to time. It's been a little bit. I think once the bug hit, a lot of people started being a little more cautious than they used to be. But Rachel's mother is Teresa Beckmeyer, and she does a lot of stuff with I'm not sure exactly how, but with different types of organizations that really have to get involved with government work. And so she travels a lot. And she had just mentioned, Carolyn had come across something she had written. She'd just been to Houston. And she went to Houston, and everybody is scared to death in Houston. They're hiring extra security so people won't break into their buildings or mess up their buildings. She said when she would fly on the planes, there was no joy. People were just sitting there scared to death, and they were looking to make sure that the other person was doing what they thought that other person needed to be doing. And so we've gone from a society of sitting down and saying, hey, how are you doing? And introducing yourself and getting a conversation to, do you have something that's going to kill me? and so we've just kind of, I don't know, I think we've lost the most important understanding of what we're here for. We really are here to serve God, to seek and save the lost. We do care about people's health. We do care about their lives. And so we don't want to do things that are incautious. I'm not suggesting that for a moment. But what a change has happened. Before services tonight, I was watching a special on Norman Rockwell. I love looking at Norman Rockwell's artwork. It's just a slice of life from kind of an idyllic time. He didn't grow up that way, by the way. He grew up in New York City. he has memories, he said, of going up on the top of the building when he was 5 or 6 and watching the different competing gangs fight with bicycle chains. And so when he had a chance to get out of the big city, he moved to a small town. And he started painting the things he saw in that small town. Not everything was perfect where he was at. But he wanted to kind of capture things that he thought were ideals. It's what God wants for you. The reason we study His Word, the reason that we apply our heart to understanding and find out what His commands are, is so that we can live a good life. If we all lived the way that God tells us to live, this would be a heaven on earth. But we don't. And so there's a penalty for sin, and there's another place other than heaven and another place other than earth that people will go to. We talked earlier as well about love, and the penalty for not loving is fear. But now let's look at the solution for fear, and that's love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Funny the way these things work. 1 John 4, 18. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Well, again, what does love have to do with fear? And, of course, the answer is right there in the middle. Fear has to do with punishment. You know what it's like. I think everybody that's ever had a, well, maybe not everybody. Some of y'all, I'm sure, were exemplary citizens. But many people, when they get their driver's license, the first thing they want to do is they want to drive, and they want to drive fast. And so they do. And after a while, you've driven fast for long enough that you've had nice gentlemen in uniforms. They'll stop you and talk about your speed, and they might even give you a citation. And so after a while, you still go out and you still drive fast, but you're scared that you're going to get pulled over. And so what's the solution? Obeying the speed limit. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command." Now go back and look at this. But fear has to do with punishment. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. If we obey God, we don't have to worry about punishment. There will not be a fear for us of being punished. And that's a tremendous burden lifted when you don't have to worry. I really enjoy driving now. We'll pass a highway patrolman, and we'll see the lights come on, and I'll think, wonder who he's getting this time. No, it's not me. Now, every once in a while, I'm surprised. I did get pulled over that one time, as I mentioned, going uphill in a minivan with six adults at 100 miles an hour. But he finally looked at his video and saw that it wasn't me. But for the most part, you're not going to suffer for doing something wrong if you're not doing anything wrong, and so you don't have to fear. Fear has to do with punishment. Love drives out fear. There's something else. It's not just our love for God that causes us to obey Him, and therefore we're not having to be afraid of punishment, but it's the love that God and Christ have for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And by the way, take this and just use it as a template for what is going on right now. And just think about, would your life not be better if you could really focus on this rather than all the things that are going on? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Do any of those things sound like things that would give you confidence? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, death. None of those things sound good. But notice the tie-in now to love. No, in all things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons... Oh, we've been talking about this lately. It seems like this year the demons have been released from the abyss. It's just, people are mad. They're hateful. It's like they're coming after you for revenge for something you haven't done. And it's just like, what is going on? Neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future. How many people are scared to death today and they're scared to death about what might happen tomorrow? Nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the cure for fear, isn't it? It is the fear of God, yes, but it is the love of God and the love of Christ. It doesn't matter what's going on. It can't separate you from the love of God and the love of Christ. Only you can do that. All spiritual death is suicide. Again, it may be assisted suicide, but nobody can take your soul away from you. Only you can ruin the perfect relationship that you were born with God and with Christ. And if you'll make sure that you're not doing that, if you'll make sure that you are in Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ. All these things that are happening right now, they can harm you, sure enough. I still remember there was an epiphany for me at one point. I don't know how many times I had been whacked through the years. A lot of it was because I had a bigger mouth than probably I should have, and often I had information I thought the other person needed, and I would share it with them, and they disagreed, and so I'd get whacked. There came a point where I was really afraid of getting whacked a lot, especially with moving around from place to place, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me, it's just pain. and you recover from pain. And once you realize that, you're not scared anymore. And when you're not afraid of that, you're not afraid to go out. You're not afraid to see people. You're not afraid to do different things. When you're in Christ and you're not afraid of trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or death, it doesn't say you're going to like these things. But if you're not afraid of these things because you're going to heaven by the grace of God and the blood of Christ, if you do your part, we can't be separated from the love of God. that is in Christ. That's why it's so important to be in Christ. When we talk about being baptized, it is for the forgiveness of your sins. There's no question about that, but it places you in Christ. And all these blessings that we have that are in Christ are so important. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, Asa, who had been a really good king up until just a little bit before this, Asa was the one who, when he was having trouble, he sought out God's help. And when he did, he was commended by a prophet. Prophet came to him and said, when you are with God, God is with you. And he said, if you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he'll forsake you forever. And so Asa took that promise. He presented it to his fellow Israelites in Judah. And they entered into a covenant with God to seek the Lord. And those that wouldn't seek the Lord were to be put to death. We talked about that before. I imagine the compliance was pretty high. I don't think many people were put to death for not seeking the Lord. They became serious about that. You become focused when you have a fear of death or a penalty of death. And so they sought the Lord. But something happened with Asa. Asa got really confident with his own powers of figuring things out. And so when he was threatened again, instead of going to God, he went to man. He went to the Syrians and he asked for their help. And they helped him, but the prophet came back, different prophet came back to Asa, and he condemned him for what he had done. But in that condemnation, I believe, is one of the greatest promises that we have from God. It is 2 Chronicles 16:9, and it says, "The eyes of the Lord range to and fro across the world to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." When your heart is fully committed to God, you don't have to fear all the things everybody else fears, because God is there looking for you, number one. But secondly, He is looking to strengthen you. That's a big deal. You don't have to fear because God is your strength. You don't have to fear because this life is not the only thing you have hope for. What was it Paul said in Philippians? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul was in prison when he wrote that. Paul had been beaten. Paul had been stoned. He had been shipwrecked, or he was about to be several times. He went through all sorts of things in life, and yet he said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When you're not afraid of death anymore because you know of the reward that God has waiting for you, though you don't deserve it, remember what else Paul said? Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. That means that all of us who thought that we were the worst person to ever live and weren't worthy of forgiveness, which we are not worthy of forgiveness, but Paul said, I'm the chief. And yet Christ forgave him. God forgave him. And so he wasn't afraid of death, because he accepted this covenant that God offered him. And because of that, to live was wonderful. It was Christ. And to die is gain. Think about how so many people right now they're just miserable. You look at them, they're miserable. They look at you. You can tell they want you to be miserable too. It's not going to work for me. I'm going to enjoy this life because it's a blessing from God. I'm not going to try and pick a fight with anybody or make people feel uncomfortable unnecessarily. But there are some people right now, it seems like they're not going to be happy unless they're uncomfortable. Let them be uncomfortable, but let them whine somewhere else. Kind of like when your kids were growing up and they just wouldn't stop whining. It's just like, if you want to keep whining, just go somewhere else. Whine all you want, but not around me. And I think we need to have an attitude of this life is good, to live as Christ, and get past this idea of something always hanging over our head waiting to fall. To live as Christ and to die as gain. And once you have that firmly in your heart and in your brain, well, life becomes good. What do you have to fear? Again, if you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I think this is one of the worst things that we do, is we lean on our own understanding. That's what Asa was doing, and he was condemned for it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. A great promise. God will make sure that you're going in the right direction if you are trusting in Him. And that means trusting in His Word enough to do it. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, we looked at the first part of this, but now I want to look at the second part. I want to look at all of it. But it starts off by saying, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what's right, you're blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. Part of the reason sin is because sometimes when you're doing well, people will still be evil towards you. People will still lie to you. They will still steal your stuff. They will still try and hurt you. That happens sometimes when people are involved with sin. But generally speaking, if you're good to people, they're good to you. There's nobody I'd rather have than a good Christian neighbor. And if I find a good Christian neighbor, I'm going to enjoy them. If they're not a good Christian neighbor, I still want to be nice to them, but I'm not going to enjoy them. If you're good, people are going to do good to you. But even if they don't, you're blessed. Don't fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. This is one of the great keys to a successful life, is not fearing what everybody else fears. You fear God and you have no other reason, no other thing to fear. That doesn't mean you don't have concerns. Of course you do. But this is the part I wanted to get to, and this is the part we're going to close with tonight. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. When Jesus rules your life, when He rules your heart, there's no room left for fear in your heart because He rules. And there's no room in His realm for fear other than fear of God. It's an amazing thing. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. It's amazing what that does for our life. We can live two different lives if we choose, and most of us have. You can live a life that is filled with uncertainty and fear and worry. You can lay awake at night, waking up, wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. Or you can trust in God. You still have your concerns, and there will still be things that will be challenges in life. This life is a test. But if we make... In our heart, if we set Christ apart as Lord, there's no need to fear anything except for God. And that makes life really good. The invitation's open. If you need to respond to the gospel's call, won't you do that while we stand and sing?